When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
This is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. Going to be doing that again this week. I saw Mariah Carey in concert last night, Trevor, at Radio City Music Hall, but I guess I don't want to give you any spoilers because you're going to see her next week, right?
Y'all act like this is like Us or something, like the spoilers of a concert. It's not a horror movie.
No, but don't you kind of want to go in and not know what the exact set list or what some of the highlights are? Don't you just kind of want to go in and let me experience it for myself?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like I'm not going to be crushed if somebody tells me she plays this song and not this song. But yeah, I mean, maybe there's something. You never know. Maybe something happens. I'll be seeing her in Philly. Maybe Boyz II Men shows up, you know, hometown, yada, yada. So that's also one of the fun things, too, is unlike a movie or a TV show, maybe we can get completely different experiences based on who shows up, what's retooled, what's rejiggered. You never know.
Yeah, that's right. I'm realizing she didn't do One Sweet Day. So, yeah, maybe you'll get that in Philly. Kind of jealous.
Well, we'll only have to wait to find out.
I'm also going to see Maggie Rogers Friday night at Hammerstein Ballroom here in New York. So I'll give that review next week as well. And I can't believe I didn't think of this until just earlier. Maggie Rogers at Hammerstein Ballroom. Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Not he had to beat us over the head. he said Rodgers and Hammerstein Ballroom. I saw it coming.
And also, Chartbeat, both Chartbeat column and Chartbeat podcast. The day this posts, this Thursday, March 28th, the Chartbeat column started in Billboard by Paul Grine back in 1981. And then the Chartbeat podcast started 3 years ago now, 2016, March 28th. So happy birthday.
Did you plan that?
Yeah, I did.
Ah, I see.
So lots going on this week chart-wise. We're going to be talking Ariana Grande at number one on the Hot 100, women at number one on the Hot 100 for most of 2019 so far. And is that going to continue? What might be the next number one on the Hot 100? We'll get into all that. Plus our special guest this week, we're going to get really, really inside with podcasts, talking about podcasts on the podcast, specifically podcasts on the radio as an iHeartMedia-owned station in Allentown, Pennsylvania. They've just flipped to an all-podcast format, believed to be, if not the first, one of the first stations ever to do that. So we'll talk to iHeart's Chris Williams, Chief Product Officer, about that and where podcasts are going, where radio's going. So that's all coming up on this Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. It's all on the way. First, this week's Top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, one.
Number 10.
Need you to go away. Still going bad on them anyway. Saw you last night, but did it broad day.
Number 9.
I just poured something in my cup. I've been wanting something I can feel. Promise I am never letting up. Money in your palm will make you real.
Number 8.
I'm a sucker for you. Say the word and I'll go.
Things, no one knows about you, about you, about you.
number 7. Number 6.
I want to raise your spirits. I want to see you smile. No, that means I'll have to leave.
Number 5.
Please me, baby. Turn around and just tease me, baby. You know what I want and what I need, baby.
Let me hear you say,
please.
Let me hear you say,
number 4.
It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. Yeah, your grandma will probably know me. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow.
Number 3.
Then you're left in the dust. Unless I stuck by you. You're a sunflower. I think your love would be too much. Or you'd be left in the dust.
Number 2.
Just so you can take advantage. Too far away to hold me. You know I'm the one who put you up there. Name in the sky. Does it ever get lonely? Thinking you could live without me. Thinking you could live without me.
And number 1.
Seven weeks at number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100. That is Ariana Grande still in the top spot, retracing the song's journey for those who may have forgotten how we got to 7 weeks. Debuted number 1, 5 weeks in the top straight out the gate. Fell down to number 2 is Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper, and then the Jonas Brothers took over the number 1 spot. Ariana went back to number 1 last week, holds again this week. And with 7 weeks at number 1, Seven Rings ties Thank You Next already as Ariana's longest leading Hot 100 number 1. Of course, Thank You Next number 1 at the end of last year, into this year. So it's been Ariana's season for quite a while now. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and say I see on the tip sheet, you know, Gary is a big fan of his puns and his jokes and his witticisms. And of course, we all knew that if Seven Rings got 7 weeks, we would have to suffer through something. So without further ado, here is Gary Truss to break down the joke of the week.
Well, it may not be as long as you fear, but how often does a song title match up with its total weeks at number 1 on the Hot 100? So obviously a lot of songs with the word one in their title, but 1 week at number 1, and the all-time example of that is this song.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days to living room.
1 week. For 1 week, the Bare Naked Ladies back in 1998. Two songs that have the word two in their titles have hit number 1. They've both led for 2 weeks. Back in 1977, Mary McGregor was
torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. Loving both of you is breaking all the rules.
And 1989, Phil Collins, 2 weeks at number 1 for a great song, Two Hearts. Done yet, but Trevor. Three, zoomed one, number 1 for 3 weeks, Knock 3 Times by Don back in 1971.
Oh, my darling,
knock 3 times on the ceiling if you want me. Twice I'll reply
if the answer is no.
Yeah, I guess now Seven Rings is sort of the queen of this, this odd stat of 7 weeks, seven in the title, though, could age out of the stat next week. I guess it still would have had 7 weeks at least, but if it gets to be 8 or 9 weeks, technically I guess it wouldn't be in that group anymore, but good problem to have, I guess. More weeks at number one. That's a pretty good trade-off. That wasn't so painful, was it?
I'll say I expected worse, and I almost feel like there's a part two coming, but I'll take it. If that's it, I'll take it.
So the other angle of Ariana being number one this week is women have now been number one for 11 weeks on charts dated in 2019. What's significant about that? That's how many weeks women in lead roles spent at number one all of last year. So we're only 3 months into the year, and women have already matched last year's total with 9 months to go. So seems like this year is going to be a big upswing for women on the Hot 100. It's also up from 8 weeks in 2017. So eight in 2017, 11 last year, and 11 so far this year. So yeah, women back on top this year. Ariana, obviously a big part of that. But again, also Shallow, Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper as well, and Halsey for a couple weeks without me. So yeah, we can't predict what's going to happen over the next 9 months of the year. But we do know that new music seems to be coming at some point from Rihanna, Taylor Swift, maybe. She's been seen coming out of a recording studio. She mentioned new music. Fans will be the first ones to know when it comes out on the iHeart Awards. Halsey just said new music by the end of the year, new album. Lady Gaga, we think, new music. So lots of music, we think, coming by women who have been number one repeatedly. So could continue the trend, or yeah, does Drake come back with more new music? We've been talking about this on the podcast. Bieber, Ed Sheeran, Bruno. Could it be something, Trevor, totally like Omi a couple years ago with Cheerleader? Maybe is Lil Nas X, is he this year's Omi?
Oh, is he this year's Omi? Wow, what a...
There's a new tip.
That's, yeah, what a question. I mean, well, it seems like all signs kind of pointing towards that could be a big number one pretty soon. That's really the only song that kind of is, you could say, galloping up the chart with any kind of...
I'm teaching all these puns.
Yeah. Final exam coming in a few weeks, too.
If you haven't heard the song, this is the song we're talking about, Old Town Road.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back.
Yeah, just like a minute and a half, you know, sort of viral ditty that's really taken off. And I mean, across all platforms, all streaming services, it just seems like it really is. It's already going to be a hit, but maybe the next number one. Got co-signs by Justin Bieber, you know, who just said this shit bangs on his Instagram a few weeks ago. So, you know, really one of those unorthodox number one hits, right up there with probably Jonas Brothers for... Who saw this coming in 2019? But
never mind. Omi, if Bieber is saying this is a good, maybe Lil Nas X is the next Carly Rae Jepsen.
I guess you could. Yeah. You could make it. There's a through line for that precedent, perhaps. But yeah, I mean, it just feels like a really interesting time because, I mean, nothing else. The number one spot feels kind of ripe for some takeover. It's, you know, Ariana is obviously still up there strong, but there's nothing in that top 10, top five that really feels like, oh yeah, just give it some time. So. If Nas X can hold on, maybe he'll make it.
Yeah, and again, it's been mostly Ariana, so obviously Seven Rings can keep hanging on. But does Break Up With Your Girlfriend eventually go to number one? Is Thank You Next the album? Is it full of more number ones, or has it been Thank You Next and Seven Rings? And does that kind of open up for opportunity for whatever's coming next? It seems like as much as it's been women at number one, it's been Ariana. So I kind of feel like it's a little bit wide open for what comes next.
Okay, I guess to put some real numbers on this, just to let you know what's happening with Old Town Road. 2 weeks ago, Hot 100, 83. Last week, up to 51. And this week, up to 32. So it climbed 32 spots last week. Now it's up to number 32. So there's something about 32s up in there. But just the fact that it went from, you know.
Trying to do my seven rings, 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Not so easy.
32s. But yeah, the fact that it jumped in the top 40 just in those 2 weeks, you know, it just really seems like the song has the wind at its back.
And memes driving this partly as well?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's some, in the past couple months, like just country-fied, country cowboy kind of memes have become just a particular sort of genre of meme that's really hot at this point. I mean, this song, you know, in a lot of ways just plays off that. I mean, the video is just basically scenes out of Red Dead Redemption 2. It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when all kids kind of have that little fantasy play life, and I guess it feels like that cowboy imagery, you just want to be out. There's something that appeals to it. And of course, the line that I got the horses in the back has been taken everywhere, all over TikTok, all over YouTube, Instagram. So, you know, it just seems like one of those things where the cultural moment lines up with the musical moment and it just blows up.
All tied up, no more love, and I'd hate to see you waiting. Had to have high, high hopes for a living. Shooting for the stars, but I couldn't make a killing. Didn't have a time, but I always had a vision. Always had high, high hopes.
All right, just below the top 10 on the Hot 100, got up to number 4, Panic! At the Disco's biggest hit. Longest running number 1 on the Adult Pop Songs Airplay chart this decade. Gets 15 weeks at number 1 this week. It's the longest since The Fray, Hottest Save a Life, back in 2006, 2007. So absolutely huge hit for Panic! At the Disco. Years in the making, their biggest hit after hitting the top 10 on the Hot 100 back in 2006. They didn't get back to the top 10 until this song. And now, yeah, longest running number 1 on Adult Pop Songs, 15 weeks in the 2010s.
Also want to give a shout out to, on the radio charts, Urban Radio, Meek Mill being a huge force, getting his first number one this week, actually, on the Rap Airplay chart and on Rhythmic Songs charts with the song Going Bad featuring Drake. Obviously, never a bad time to have Drake co-sign, particularly after he's coming off his biggest career year ever. But I think the cool thing about this, for me, one of the cool things for me, too, is we talk so much about the presence of rap and how big it is. And a lot of that, Drake, kind of someone who's been around for a while, but benefiting off that. But a lot of it tends to be focused on a lot of these new kids, you know, Post Malone in the past couple of years, XXXTentacion. Just feels like every Kodak Black, whoever, you know, that's come up in the past couple of years. But it seems like also some of the, the generation before, if you want to call them that, of these late 2000s, early 2010 rappers, they're starting to get their due as part of this hip-hop resurgence as well. I mean, you see with Meek Mill getting his first top 10s on the Hot 100 when the song came out. Now radio is really embracing him. Hadn't had a top 10 on Rhythmic until this song goes all the way to number 1. Same thing with Gucci Mane. We saw Wake Up in the Sky, the song he had with Kodak Black and Bruno Mars, be a big radio hit as well. Gucci, of course, had been a presence, you know, for the past decade and a half on a lot of people's playlists. Wake Up in the Sky just missed out on top 10 on the Hot 100. So it feels like, you know, for me, as much as obviously we need to talk about Migos and Post Malone and, all these, you know, Lil Nas X's out there, I want to give a shout out to some of the guys who could have gotten sort of lost in that 2010s pop takeover, but have held off long enough to see hip-hop come back and get their place on the charts as well. So I think that's a really, really cool sort of thing that may not be quite as obvious to a lot of people in the midst of all this sort of talk about just hip-hop. It's not just new kids. It's everybody.
Yeah. And a song back in the top 10, too. We heard it back at number 10. So first time since December because it's become a big radio hit. So, yeah, back in the top 10, Meek Mill's first top 10 in the Hot 100. So that's what's going on in the charts this week, maybe going forward. Let's talk about podcasts on the radio. On a podcast. iHeartMedia in Allentown, Pennsylvania just launched what's believed to be the first all-podcast radio station, WSAN, dropped a sports format and is now the iHeart podcast channel on the radio, playing nothing but podcasts. So Stuff You Should Know, Part-Time Genius, Broken Hearts, other podcasts, part of this new station that's based on the iHeart podcast channel. So why don't you find out more about that, just because it's innovative format to put on radio. So figured we'd talk to iHeartRadio's chief product officer, Chris Williams, talking about that and just get into a whole lot more about iHeart and how really the company's been really at the forefront of a lot of technology going forward in terms of what radio's been, but the way people consume audio now and how that's going to affect radio and its many related platforms going forward. So Chris Williams, our special guest, coming up on the Billboard Chappie Podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Chris Williams, thank you so much for coming on the Billboard Chart View podcast.
Absolutely. Long time, first time.
So it's actually very meta because we're a podcast that often talks about...
I thought the same. When I got the invite, I thought, wait, a podcast about podcasts. Right. Seinfeldian of you.
And even further, we usually talk about radio. So now we're a podcast talking about podcasts on the radio. On a podcast, and well, I think we've confused everybody.
I am a radio guy through and through, so happy to talk about both.
I was going to say, I could hear the radio voice in you. Do you have a radio background? Were you on the air?
Yeah, I just wanted to be a DJ, man. That's what it's all was about. I just wanted to be the next Casey Kasem, and yeah, so I started off in radio and was a jock for a while and came up through the ranks and got into programming and found that, you know, the secret sauce in programming really was being very digital forward. And I programmed stations that had some of the first websites and stations that were some of the first to stream and the first to jump on social media and then to make sure that I got my audience off one platform and onto the next before my competitors. And so it was always just a really distinct advantage that all of my stations had was being much more digitally forward thinking than my competitors. And that served me well. And it caught the attention of the folks that were putting together iHeartRadio, and they reached out and said, hey, we need to bridge that gap. Someone that has that hybrid understanding of broadcast radio and can think and speak digital to try to bring these two together. And so then I joined iHeartRadio here in New York on the digital side about 5 years ago.
I'm just thinking, you said Casey Kasem. You're a big Chart fan as well. Of course, we got to ask that if you're going to mention Casey Kasem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where it's at, right? I mean, you waited every single week for the Billboard chart to come out so you could see what was moving, what the velocity was of the track that was moving. Is there something out there that I don't know about that I missed? Who's broken the records for being in the number one spot for the longest? I mean, there's nothing better than somebody like smashing a record and owning the charts for, you know, 23 weeks in a row.
Yeah. All right, so talking about advances, and iHeart really has been at the forefront of that. Talking about the specific station that just signed on in Allentown, it really caught our interest because you guys are saying this is maybe the first time this has been done, this all-podcast radio station in Allentown, WSAN, 1470 AM. So it feels like it's kind of you're going to experiment, try it on an AM station. Take us back to the beginning, Chris. How did this idea originate?
It is. You know, there's so much great podcast content out there. And yet, I think we all recognize because we are so close to what's happening in the industry, podcasting to us seem obvious. You know, everyone listens to a podcast. Everyone knows what a podcast is. Everyone knows where to find a podcast. I mean, those answers to us have probably been those questions have been answered for us. And it's easy to assume they've been answered for everyone else, but that's just not the reality yet. I mean, only like 30% of Americans listen to a podcast a month. That leaves a lot of folks out there who haven't listened to a podcast. And you have to ask the question, well, why haven't they? You know, what's the thing that's kept them from doing it? And if you're a podcast person, it's not the content. It's not the hosting. It's not the great storytelling. It's not production value because podcasts are incredibly produced. They're just – They're beautiful. Some of them are works of art. It's incredible programming. People haven't found it yet because no one's been able to introduce it to them in the way that radio is able to introduce content to the world. I mean, it's still the way that people discover music. It's the way that people find their next favorite song. It's the way that they delight in hearing their old favorite songs and getting those wonderful aha moments. I mean, radio is still there as the point of discovery for music. And our focus was on, well, there's this great wealth of content available out there. How do people discover it? Aha. What about radio? There's an answer. And so we built, there is a flagship station or a super station, if you will, on the iHeartRadio app called the iHeart Podcast Channel. And that was where we originated the concept of what if we create a linear radio station programmed with podcasts round the clock and then offer that up to the radio stations across the country as something that they could take, you know, in syndicated form, if you will. And so that's really how this thing kicked off, was that we built that and we wanted to see the proof of concept. What would it sound like? Would it work? And when we heard the station, we're like, wow, this is, there's something here. This is pretty cool. It's great programming. And why don't we offer it up WSAN was the first to grab it and say, yeah, we want to run with this. Let's take this 24 hours around the clock.
And so, interestingly, a part of that, when you come up with this new kind of idea, I think one of the things that a lot of people might kind of pause when they hear an idea like a recurring podcast channel and say, well, part of the appeal of this big digital economy is that, you know, you're able to listen to things on the go and during certain times and stop and pause when it's convenient for you. And especially with something like a podcast, that's, you know, way more than just one song that you might catch several times. I mean, this is a, you know, a narrative story that if you don't start at the beginning, you're going to get lost. What were the worries internally when you guys were trying to decide to go forward with this project? Were people concerned that this was going to be almost sort of a backstep in programming, like you're like a TV guide where you're going to have to make sure you start at the beginning or make sure you tune in at a certain amount of time? Or how do you guys, I guess, plan for those kind of listeners to avoid those kind of problems?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something that we talked about, again, because we were coming at it from the standpoint of being podcast consumers. And so when I think about how I listen to podcasts and the times and the places, and then I think about a podcast station where it's, you know, I join kind of the station at whatever time I join, the conversations is already going on. When I think about it as a podcast listener, those concerns were something that we discussed. When we started thinking about it from the other side, as someone who has not discovered a podcast yet, the vast majority of folks who have difficulty in being introduced to great podcast content, and how do they discover something new in the podcast space? Who's the person who's helping to curate that experience? Who's the, you know, who's giving it context, and who's filtering through the tens of thousands of podcasts and sorting them out and doing the hard work of finding the best of the best? Well, that creates an entirely new opportunity for people who aren't diehard podcasters, for people who are trying to discover what podcasts are all about. That's really, I think, where the advantage is that the station has done all of the work already, that we've gone through and we've listened to all of these podcasts and we've put them together in a consumable way that encourages discovery, puts them in context, introduces you to the personalities and the characters, and lets you get to know them. And then I fully expect, I mean, the station's a living thing and podcasts have seasons, and there'll be a new season of this podcast. And so just as the same way that you might pick up a show on TV and catch it in its first run in real time every Thursday, and then you can go pick it up and binge watch it later on a Netflix or a Hulu, I expect the same thing's going to happen here. You're going to be listening to WSAN, get addicted to an episode of Monster, And then you can go in and binge watch, binge listen to the Monster podcast on the iHeartRadio app. So it's going to have a symbiotic relationship with people who want to listen on broadcast radio, people who listen and discover something exciting and new, and then go binge listen to that in the app, and then come back to WSAN for what's next. Okay, great. Thanks for introducing me to Disgraceland. That was fantastic. I'm done. I've binge watched season one and two, or binge listened to season one and two. Now what? Oh, have you heard of Monster Zodiac? Yeah, that's a great one. Check that out. So, it's going to be one of those things where, as a way to introduce folks to podcast content, it's there as a way of making the introduction from the point of view of pre-curating what's great in the podcast space.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, Chris, of how when YouTube came along, over a decade ago, one of the great advantages was, if I'm sitting in my bedroom, everyone can be an artist, everyone can be heard by the world, and same thing with podcasts, everyone can have a podcast, but that's that other element that, if millions of people have a song out or have a podcast, how do you get more of an audience than just maybe a few people? So that's kind of what you're saying, that curation really, really is key.
Paradigm of choice. You give me a million options and I'm just going to shut down. I don't know. It's too hard when there's too many choices. So there does need to be some layer of screening and filtering to kind of help get people, especially people who are relatively unfamiliar or people who have no idea at all. There needs to be a way of helping them get into the podcast space in a really comfortable way. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw in the Nielsen Total Audience Report that just came out last week, I believe, people are looking to platforms and shows that they are already comfortable with to introduce them to content that's out there to listen to. They're looking for trusted platforms to introduce them to something new. And that really is radio's role, I think, when it comes to introducing people to music and when it comes to introducing people to podcast as a platform and podcast individually as titles. By having a trusted platform of radio make that introduction, it makes that a far more comfortable transition for folks who are hearing. I hear people talk about podcasts all the time. Over lunch, I'm overhear conversations by my friends. I don't know exactly what it is, so I just kind of nod and smile along. What the heck's going on? This is a way for you to be introduced to it in a comfortable way.
And the definition of podcast radio, it's also blurred more than ever before. Example I always use is I listen to a sports station out of Boston, WEEI, and sometimes I'm listening to a specific podcast that the station produces, but also I'm listening to segments that are aired over FM previously, but I can pick and choose what exact subjects I actually want to listen to. So it's getting even harder to say, this is just a podcast, this is just radio. It's really all just more content at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the way that we got into the podcast space originally as iHeartMedia was repurposing our broadcast radio content. I was on the air for years and years, and one of my points of frustration was I could have the best morning show of my life, the best I ever felt at 10:01, getting off the air. Oh my, I killed it. The interviews were great. The callers that I had on were amazing. Everything was amazing. And at 10:02, suddenly that realization of, and it's gone.
Right.
And I have to do it all again tomorrow. It was over. To be able to now take that and go, this is a show that I now can repurpose. It's now a podcast. People are going to be able to listen to it for years in the future. It's no longer just gone, vapor up into the ethos. It's something that now I can get more mileage out of and bring people back into, and they can discover my morning show through engaging with my podcast. So that's how we initially got into it, was how do we take our radio shows and make them available on demand so our audience can listen in a time-shifted fashion. They can listen in kind of a more complete fashion. You know, normally people have a commute window that they can listen to a show, so they, I missed the hour before and the hour after. I can only hear that 30 minutes that I was making my commute. And people started to really grab onto that. Our radio audience were really grabbing onto that. And that was a validation for us, that turning radio into podcast and the adoption that we were seeing from that was a validation of both the podcast space and the power that we have as iHeartMedia in introducing and converting people into podcast users.
Now, as you alluded to earlier, you know, when you're trying to get people introduced to podcasts, there are a million options out there and only so much time in the day. How do you, I mean, you know, when there's so many types of programming out there and podcasts, there's so many things that are niche but very interesting. There's political podcasts, which, you know, could alienate audiences or drive sort of debate. How do you schedule and determine what kind of podcasts make the cut and go forward with that programming?
Yeah, for WSAN, you're going to see that the political part is left off just because that one is so tricky, and we want this to be more information and entertainment based. And you're going to see that we pull a lot from our Stuff Media podcast universe, and those really are just, I think, have global appeal, and they also have a really deep evergreen catalog. I mean, there are multiple podcasts like Stuff You Should Know that have over 1,000 episodes. They have several titles that have over 800 episodes. And so as we were going through and mining all of the back catalog, it just became obvious that there's this wealth of great content, both educational, but also just really entertaining, great personalities hosting these things, and that, as much as anything, is what's made How Stuff Works so successful, is just the connection with the personalities. Much the same way that's what makes radio so successful, and, you know, morning shows such an important part of the radio formula. And so as we were going through, we're like, wow, there's all of this great content going back 7 to 10 years that is evergreen. There's never a time where a lot of this curiosity stuff isn't going to be entertaining. Let's repurpose this and let's bring it in and let's use this as original radio programming, because a lot of folks have just they've never heard any of these shows before. So you're going to find the stuff that is on there entertainment based, like Unqualified with Anna Faris, a lot of curiosity based stuff, like Stuff You Should Know, and those types of shows. A lot of true crime stuff, which really doesn't, we don't have to worry about treading on in the political space. So to be able to hear Happy Face or Atlanta Monster, Monster Zodiac Killer, those types of things have a pretty broad appeal. So we really look to those, the true crime, the curiosity, the history, and the entertainment-based podcasts that make for a good mix for the creation of this 24/7 podcast station.
Yeah, and amazing, I think, the crime genre between, you know, Making a Murderer and Serial and all these things. I mean, it just, yeah. We always kind of knew it was there. You know, there's always been Lifetime and Mysteries and all those kind of things. But it just seems like that is like the cha-ching ticket for this genre in the past 4 or 5 years. It's amazing.
Right. And, you know, Serial, give them credit. They found it, whether by accident or maybe they were that visionary, and everything from there, you know. And I think the initial thought was, all right, well, that was just really great storytelling in one particular, you know, story that captured everyone's imagination. And podcast after podcast after podcast has proven, no, there's just real appetite for every story that you can tell in that space. People are interested in it. It's just such a compelling conversation, and it allows you to get into details and the backstory of these true crime tales that, you know, really on the covers of newspapers or even articles that you read online or, you know, a news blurb or whatever. It never really got into that. It didn't paint the picture. It didn't give us the backstory. We weren't able to meet the characters or the victims or the accomplices. You know, we weren't able to get to know them in a real way. You know, in a 12-part podcast episode really allows us to get in and tell a story in a really deep and probing way. And it's just the detail is, I think the fascination is in the detail.
This is it's kind of weird. This is kind of what radio was at the beginning, 100 years ago, when you had people performing plays and long-form storytelling. Here we are all these decades later. We're talking about this advance. We're going back to
radio
before
theater,
TV.
Right? It's like H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, Chris, personally to you, what makes a good podcast?
Well, a host, first of all, I mean, I think you need a host who comes across as authentic. I'll say just like in the moment, my favorite podcast today is Disgraceland. It's hosted by Jake Brennan. And the guy's writing is phenomenal and his storytelling is incredible. But it's only because he's just real. Like, he's an authentic guy. And he says things that I listen to and I go, man, if I were to try to say things that way, I would come across as such a poser. Like, there's no way I could pull it off. But he does, because it's just – it's him. It's true to him. The stories that he's telling are fascinating. It's interesting because there are some podcasts that I love that are highly produced. And, you know, Jake does a great job of that. And then, you know, Dr. Death's another great example of a podcast that's super highly produced and they do a great job. And then there are other podcasts that are no production at all. It's just guys sitting around talking. Like Jason Flom hosts a podcast called Wrongful Conviction, and it is a podcast of people who have been exonerated of just heinous crimes, murders, and DNA evidence has come along and proven 20, 30 years down the line that these folks were innocent of these crimes and they have been freed, and they come on with Jason and they just sit for 30, 45 minutes, an hour. And Jason just asks them, tell me about this experience. Where did you come from? How were you implicated? What was it like to go through this and to know you were innocent the entire time? How did you? And you go, oh my goodness, this is, how could you possibly turn away? Like, there's nothing I can imagine more intriguing than hearing these stories. I find for me, it always gravitates toward things that are kind of in the real world realm, real life stories. But I do. I think it's the host. You have to click with the host. Great storytelling, and then just compelling topics.
And again, it's that feeling like you're listening to just a conversation that's very raw and real. Maybe the closest you get to that on most AM or FM radio is news talk or talk radio. But even then, it's maybe a call for a minute or two, and then you move on to something else. And commercials, podcasts are really the only place where you can listen to that long form conversation or long term story. It just doesn't seem to exist elsewhere on radio.
Yeah, I think the expectation coming in is slightly different. So as you're dealing in a broadcast medium, the need to change topics fairly regularly so that you're re-engaging your audience and bringing in, you know, grabbing the attention of, you know, one group of my audience may not be interested in the Jussie Smollett story. The next group of my audience may not be interested in Conor McGregor just retiring from the UFC. And the next group may or may not be interested in the latest in what's going on with the Mueller investigation. So you're trying to string together topics in the same way that as a radio format, as a music format, you're trying to, you know, every 3.5 minutes there's a new song. So if this one isn't the one for you, maybe the next one is, and we're pulling a coalition of people together. But we're pulling together kind of a coalition of people who, because it's a broadcast medium, all have something in common, but they're not, but they're not singularly minded. When someone comes in to listen to Disgraceland, they're coming for a very specific purpose, and they're there for a long-form story. I'm signing up when I hit play for a 30 to 45-minute conversation about the Rolling Stones in 1971 and what, you know, being arrested and, you know, I'm giving the storyteller permission to take their time and to tell me this story in a really long form, elaborate way, because I came for that specifically. For radio, I'm coming in to check in and plug into the world, get as much information as possible, particularly if you're talking about talk radio. I want as much information as possible. I want to be caught up on what's happening in the world. What have I missed? What's everyone else going to be talking about? I don't want to be left out of the conversation for the rest of the day. So give it to me as much as you can, as fast as you can, and get me up to date on what's going on in the world. And then give me the relevant information about my life. What's the news? What's the weather? What's the traffic? And then let's go. I just think that there's a different expectation coming in for both for the two different medias.
Almost general level future of radio. Where do you see it going? And specifically when people say, well, younger generations aren't listening to radio like previous generations. I always wonder what's going to happen to all these AM and FM towers. There's so much infrastructure that still exists. How long term do you see that changing? What's your overall take on that?
Yeah, it's a great conversation, and one that, as you can imagine, I wind up being a part of that discussion a lot. And I think that the biggest thing that I wind up trying to clarify from where my future world view of radio is, and especially for people who have been in the industry for a while, is trying to separate the capital R radio from the lowercase radio. And I think people get a little too hung up on radio as a piece of hardware and whether or not people are consuming the FM signal through a lowercase r radio. And that's a completely different conversation than if people are listening to radio. And when I think about radio, I'm thinking about the companionship element of radio. I'm thinking about the personalities. I'm thinking about the curation. I'm thinking about the music discovery and the trust that I have with the DJs and the context that's given to introducing the new music and the way that we program music that's very unique to radio, to introduce new songs into an environment that's surrounded by other things that you love, so that you get to know and discover your next favorite song, and all of those components coming together, the service elements that I mentioned, the news, weather, and traffic woven in as well, the locality of radio, the morning show that makes me laugh and that I share a worldview with and share a taste in music with and share a sense of humor with. The assembly of all of those pieces together create the capital R radio. The consumption of capital R radio for us is going up. And the more that we distribute capital R radio across, iHeartRadio is now on over 280 different platforms, from the obvious, iOS and Android, to the Alexas and to Sonos, to gaming consoles, to smart TVs, to now we're integrated into the Comcast Xfinity box, so people can ask for their radio station from their cable box and get their radio station. The more we get capital R radio, which is the content and the personalities and the companionship that radio offers, and distribute that as broadly as possible so that we're everywhere our listeners want to be, then I'm less concerned about our health from a consumption standpoint, even from a youth consumption standpoint, where our penetration numbers haven't changed over the past 10 years. They're still the same. We still reach the same number of teens and 20s as we always have, but people are focusing on the lowercase R and not the capital R. And so that's really where my focus is as the chief product officer of iHeartRadio, is how do I make sure that the capital R is still healthy and thriving, and that we're back in the homes through smart speakers, and that we're reaching people through voice activations inside their cars and anywhere else that those go, so that those relationships can be extended and we can continue continue delivering the content and the personalities and the entertainment the way that we always have. And so that to me is the big distinction, and where I see kind of a difference for people who are looking toward the future and saying, oh my goodness, people aren't using radios as much anymore, versus people who are looking to the future and saying, oh, people are still engaged with radio, the capital R radio. It's just through 280 platforms that might not be the AM/FM piece of hardware that we're traditionally used to.
Right. And as long as you have that technology, no one's going to give up a 50,000 watt signal. If you have it, that's something that something that specifically, say, a podcast doesn't have. If you have that as part of your arsenal, I can't imagine anyone's really in a rush to get rid of that technology and just go completely to other platforms.
Yeah, it's still, look, it's still super easy. It's free. It's the thing that people consume the most. I mean, 90% of all audio consumption is still to AM/FM radio. In 2018, 90% of all audio consumption that took place. And then all of the other streaming things out there split share for the remaining 10%. So we're not there yet. Yeah, we're definitely not at the, all right, yeah. Let's pull the plug. Everybody's made the leap. Nah, it's the usage of AM/FM radio is still incredibly high. But absolutely, I want to make sure that the content that we're creating for the AM/FM radio is being distributed everywhere. Because look, the reason that iHeartRadio has been as successful as it has been over the past 7 years is that we recognize that as people's lives are becoming more and more mobile, that their proximity to an AM/FM radio is going to become less convenient. And what we didn't want to have happen was for there to be cracks where in their life where they weren't able to stay connected with their favorite radio station, because that would start to erode the relationship that they have with their favorite radio station and would be ultimately replaced by something else. By us being able to make sure that we're everywhere our users go, what we've actually done is we've increased the amount of time that people have spent with their favorite radio station through all of these other platforms, and it's only deepened the relationship that our audience has had with radio stations. So we've seen our streaming numbers continue to climb double digits year over year over year, but it hasn't been cannibalistic. So you don't hear people talking about, oh my goodness, radio's fallen off a cliff, in the same way that you hear them talking about that in other, you know, the people just screaming their heads off about TV usage and people not watching TV, et cetera, et cetera. It's, that hasn't happened to us because of those extensions that we've offered to make sure that our audience was constantly able to stay connected and was never apart from their favorite personalities, their favorite morning shows, their favorite radio stations, and all of those things that they've built up trust and they've built a relationship with over the years. And so that's an important part of our strategy going forward, is that we make sure that we keep those connections active.
Yeah, I'm a big listener of the iHeart app. You're talking about the old American Top 40s. I love that those are always on a loop. Love when the late 80s.
Yeah,
ones,
the Casey Kasem, yeah. Classic AT40s. Yeah, that's a great channel.
But also other stations. You can listen to stations just one little click, and you could be in any city mentally in your head listening. And this goes back a little bit, but I remember it was a big deal when the iHeart app evolved to not just iHeart stations, but other radio companies joined in. It was kind of a sign that, there shouldn't be competition. This is just going to be a huge app. Let's all pull together and rise all boats and make radio as wide as possible to listeners, no matter who owns the stations.
Because it's in the best interest of the radio audience. I mean, if you had to have three different tuners in your car to pick up different radio stations in your local marketplace, depending on who owned them, that's certainly not an ideal experience. Why would no one would ever go for that? I wouldn't install three head units in my car. It was the same theory. It was how do we create the equivalent of the AM/FM tuner in the digital space, and how can we make sure that users only need one tuner in order to be able to get all the radio stations instead of having to have three to four tuners. So for us, you know, bringing competitive, you know, what are considered competitive brands in the broadcast space together to make sure we could be on a singular, you know, dial, if you will, in the digital space is beneficial for all of radio. It allows all of us to make sure that we're continuing to put our content out there in a place and in a way that keeps people engaged with the medium of radio, which absolutely just makes sure that the health of all of our stations, regardless of ownership, you know, it just helps all of us with our viability moving forward.
Obviously, I'm sure you're, as part of the podcasting space, well aware of a lot of the moves the competition is making, and specifically I'm thinking of Spotify acquiring over the past couple months more and more podcast-producing apps. Are podcasts, do you think that is, I guess, the current or the next big content battle, and where do you see that going forward? As I'm sure, once again, it sort of proves that the radio guard and the streaming guard are going to have a new fight on their hands.
Right. Yeah, we've obviously been paying attention to that. It comes on the heels of our acquisition of How Stuff Works toward the back half of 2018, which was a big investment for us to make sure that we had not only a fantastic catalog of original podcast content, but that we were bringing in podcast creation expertise. We wanted to bring in the best in the business to help. There are things that that podcast producers know how to do and are expert at that might be a different skill set than what we're great at. And so we wanted to make sure that we were bolstering up our podcast initiatives with the best, with some of the best producers around and just great podcast minds. So that was a big deal for us. And I think that that's what you're seeing other folks do too, is double down in the audio space, that there really is an audio boom going on right now. And people are recognizing that it's an effective way to connect with an audience, an effective way to build a relationship with an audience, that there's huge demand around audio at the moment. And so the investments are going to, I think the investments are going to continue. There's guys that have been out there in the podcast space for years and years before it started catching fire. And, and as we're now trying to make sure that we can catch up to what's going on, it makes sense to go out there and find those guys and bring them into the fold. And so, yeah, it's not surprising to see other folks doing that as well. It's just a validation of how hot the audio space is right now, and that that we don't see that slowing down anytime soon.
Well, going back to WSAN in Allentown, Chris, if you ever have an opening if you want the Chartbeat podcast, we'll take Sundays at 3 a.m. We don't care. We'll fill in if you ever need us.
Hey, look, we're absolutely, we're looking for programming, and there's no better way to reach a bigger audience and introduce a bigger audience. I mean, that really is the thing that we're the most excited about, is that there's nobody who has the opportunity like we do to introduce a quarter billion people to the concept of and titles of podcasts the way we're going to be able to. And now that's something that is a real focus for us, because we've seen the audience that has gravitated toward podcasting already. We've seen the passion and the energy that they have. And, and to know that we can now expose other people to that content that already that people already have given a pretty huge seal of approval to, that's an exciting thing, to be able to go, man, we know we've got all of these big hits, and now we get the opportunity to – we get to break them. We're breaking hits, whether it's a music hit or whether it's a podcast hit. We have the opportunity to break hits, and this is a big one, to know that you've got all these hits on your hand, and all we have to do is get them on the air, introduce people to them, is something that is something that I think that's what we're built for.
Yeah, for listeners and people working in of these various platforms, it's a fun time to be in audio and just all the options available and just all the choices. It's not just I want to be on radio. That's the only career. There's just so many different ways you can translate that. And same thing for listeners. There's just so many more different ways than ever before to listen to all this stuff.
Well, and it's so crazy too, because it feels like, I mean, for the longest time, I remember when podcasts, they started to kind of come through when I was in college, and they had maybe a year and a half life, and then it felt like it kind of went away, and they jumped back, and then the focus was on video. Everything's going to be on visuals and screens, and everyone's going to be watching everything, and no one's going to be listening. So, I mean, I guess also in a nice way, you know, that the cool thing about this resurgence of podcast booming is that, you know, we're all not just forced to be in one box. You know, if you'd have told people 5 years ago you were majoring in audio engineering or whatever, they'd probably been like, oh, you better get on visuals. You better learn how to work a camera. And it's just like, well, no, it's not going to all be one direction all the time.
Yeah,
that absolutely is right. It is interesting. I think that it was probably to podcasting's benefit that there was that initial surge, and then there was a little bit of time where everyone's attention was focused elsewhere and the conversation was all around video, because I think what that allowed the podcast space to do was mature a little bit. And if you go back and you listen to what passed as a podcast 8 years ago versus what's happening out in the podcast space today, I think it makes a lot of sense why podcasts is suddenly now seeing a boom. It really has come along. I think storytelling has gotten smarter. I think just the production values certainly have increased. The bar is set much higher than what it was initially. So I think the initial interest was around, this is an audio medium that's new and has never before been tested. And so there was just an initial rush to get anything out. And the reason I think people lost interest was the result of that was probably less than stellar content being produced. It was just the novelty of podcasts, you know? And then, you know, and that came obviously around, you know, with the iPod being invented and Apple having a podcast store, people were filling it with stuff.
Right.
And I think while that attention was focused elsewhere and video was all the rage for a few years, podcasters had a chance to practice their craft and get better and get smarter and polish up a little bit. And so all of a sudden, a few hits started popping out. And then people started realizing, okay, wait a minute, that's how you do it. And then people started emulating the hits, and they started being influenced by one another, learning from one another. And the space really has grown from what it was to what it is now.
Well, you guys have for a long time been at the forefront of all these technological advances of radio and other platforms. And as the chief product officer, Chris, you're the person heading that up. So really appreciate you coming on and giving us all this insight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
I got a fast car gassed up sitting in the driveway. Got a road that I know like the back of my hand. We could head out right now, baby, we could fly away. And disappear out of here fast as we can.
All right, that's this week's Billboard Charity Podcast. We have two podcasts that are coming up next week. One of them, first time we've ever done this, our first live, well, taped, but recorded live podcast with Jim Asker, our Billboard Country, and Bluegrass, and Christian, chart manager in Nashville. It's actually taping tonight as we record this, March 26th, at the Good Cup in Nashville with special guest and country chart topper, Carly Pierce. So she's going to sing as well and chat with Jim. Recorded in front of a live audience. So that's really cool to hear that. First time we've done that. And best of all proceeds benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So yeah, great cause. And should be a really fun chat between Carly and Jim. Next week, we'll also be here doing our regular podcast. We're going to be talking a lot of R&B hip-hop next week, trends with Haley Jones and John Miller from Nielsen. We had them on a while back talking about some Christmas music trends. So we're going to do the same thing, talking about where R&B and hip-hop radio specifically is going. It's also going to be 30th anniversary of the Hot Rap Songs chart. We're celebrating that. So we'll talk about the biggest rap songs over the past 30 years next week. It's all coming up next week. What are we wrapping up with this week, Trevor?
All right. For this week, we're going to close things out by looking back at a group who Wyclef Jean accurately called in the middle of the song. Well, they went from a dream to the Young Supremes, and they would essentially be probably the most popular girl group since the Supremes. We're talking Destiny's Child and their debut hit, No, 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 Part 2 for the purists who know it's the remix version. Their first single back in 1997, peaking this week on the Billboard Hot 100 at number 3 in 1998. So really the first time that we came across Kelly, Latavia, Latoya, and yes, Beyonce.
You mentioned four people.
Yeah, there were four of them back in the, OGs know there were four people in Destiny's Child for the first couple of albums. Then Latoya, Latavia parted ways. Due to some disputes with the group, Michelle Williams came in and they continued as the trifecta that we know. But yeah, back then, just four girls out of Houston, Texas. They had been on Star Search as a six-piece at one point, lost out on that. But what really started as one of the R&B groups of the 90s, we had TLC, we'd had En Vogue, we had SWV. So maybe people didn't necessarily expect Destiny's Child to become the cream of that crop so quickly. But yeah, within just a few short years, I mean, we had plenty of all-time classics, Say My Name, Bills, Independent Women, Bootylicious, and then, you know, we know what they went on to do in their solo careers, respectively, and of course, Beyonce, just a shero to so many. But yeah, it all started really around this time, just back 21 years ago.
It's actually a good tie-in this week, Trevor. I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, I wasn't going to give you any spoilers of the Mariah concert, but can I give you one? This is a perfect tie-in.
Oh, okay.
So one less no. But she started the show last night with a no-no from her new album, Caution.
From Mariah's two no's, here are the three no's from the four original members of Destiny's Child. Here they are, number three this week, back in 1998. With Wyclef Jean, you know it, you love it. Here it is.
Make a little money with Destiny Child. Thugs hear the song and dance. They go wild like Texans. They moving like No Limit soldiers. It went from a dream to the young Supreme singing girl.
No, 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 no. When it's right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.